Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This email is from Mike.
Says, Ben and Nathan, episode 216 on burnout was so good, y'all, that I listened to it twice. It literally felt like you were speaking directly to me. That's because we were. I can relate to Andrea regarding burnout and blind review. For the longest time, I thought blind review was the way to go. But after listening to your podcast this morning, it made me realize maybe that's why I'm not improving as much as I like. I'd do exactly what you said on the show. I'd do blind review and most of the time get the right answer the second time. But that's because I know that the answer isn't my original choice. Then I'd convince myself that I learned something, skip your guys' explanation, and keep moving forward.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's we just talked about this on the show. It's a disaster to do blind review that way. But the purpose of blind review is to honestly, openly confront your mistake and really understand your mistake and really understand why the right answer is right. This idea that, oh, if I just do it again, as long as I get it right the second time, then I understand it. No, you don't, because you've ruled out the most attractive wrong answer. You've ruled out the one you picked.
Yeah.
Because you know it's not the right answer. Well, that's not how we say do blind review. We absolutely do want you to attempt the question again. But when you get it right, I mean, you should get it right the second time. You better get it right the second time. And I'm still not convinced that you actually understand it, though. Because now I need you to be able to answer my, I keep saying this now, it's six questions. Why is the right answer right? Why didn't you pick it? How are you going to avoid that mistake next time? That's one set of three.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the wrong answer wrong? Why did you pick it? How are you going to avoid that mistake next time?
Yep.
Do you think you could explain that to my satisfaction? Do you think you could explain that to Ben's satisfaction? All six of those? And really grapple with it, like really confront those two mistakes that you made to miss that one question.
Yeah.
And it's not just as simple as try it again, get lucky this time. Okay, yeah, I get it.
Well, this idea of doing the question, getting it wrong, and then in blind review, getting it right, and then feeling good about that, it makes me feel like it reminds me of those awkward conversations I've had so many times over the years where you're teaching a class and you start digging into a question and or really into a student and you're asking them to explain their reasoning as to how they got the answer that they did and maybe they got it right. And they can't answer your questions and they throw in the flag and they like just say, yeah, but I got it right. And it's like this like wall, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, you got it right. Therefore, you must understand it. And yet what they're telling you about how they got to that answer is wrong, right? And then you have other people who get it wrong and yet they come around and they start to see the reasoning behind why the correct answer is correct and why the wrong answer is wrong. And you're like, okay, like you have a future. I got it right. I can't explain why I got it right, but I got it right. So shut up is not a future.
No. Or even worse, I got it right on my second attempt. And, you know, I can see now it's that one's a better fit.
Yeah. Better what? Fit. Yeah.
I mean, you don't understand any, you're not understanding at all. Like you missed your one out of five guess your first time through, and then you got it right on your one out of four guess your second time through. That doesn't mean shit. That's just completely random unless you can convince me. I mean, I want that question to make perfect sense to you.
Yeah.
It needs to make perfect sense. Like it's crystal clear. 99% of the questions, I think, you should be able to arrive at a 100% crystal clear understanding. Now, one out of 100, I'm fine if you're like, oh boy, that's a real nasty one. That one might be above my head for right now. That's okay. But the vast majority of questions that you do, you need to be getting to that point of where it's not just, yeah, I got it right the second time through, or yeah, I think I see. No, you either do fully or I don't think you do at all.
Yeah, I mean, here's a good test. Imagine you're in an auditorium and I turn to you and say, hey, can you get up and just briefly explain that question to the crowd and answer any questions about it?
Yeah.
If you can't do that, then you don't fully understand it.
Yeah, it better not start with you just like rereading every word of the whole argument, or like, you know, or like better not start with you comparing two answers to each other. It's like, mm-hmm. listen, there's probably a hole in the argument. You need to be able to describe what they did that was stupid. You should probably be mm-hmm. able to put that in your own words. Well, you know, mm-hmm. they did this dumb thing, or they yeah. left out this critical piece of information. And then it turned out to be a sufficient assumption question. So I predicted the answer.
Yeah.
Because it proves the conclusion. Then I'll be sitting there in that auditorium going, bravo. You got it. Notice yep. how easy it was by the time you actually got it. You really got it. And it felt easy.
Yeah,
that's how you know you got it. If it still feels hard, then you don't understand. Anyway, Mike sounds like he made a breakthrough here. Mike continues.
Good. Yep.
I love the advice you gave of giving up the timeline and just doing your best to study however long it takes. You guys are definitely right. I think I experience burnout because I'm trying to fit all this studying into a timeline and get frustrated when I don't see the results I'm working toward. This episode was a good wake-up call to give up the timeline, drop blind review, and enjoy the process instead. Well, drop blind review?
Yeah, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think that it's good to think about questions that you struggled on before you have any idea whether you got it right or wrong. So you don't get that clue. You don't get that hint that, oh, that answer is wrong, or I got this one wrong.
Yeah, just as you're answering it that second time through, mm-hmm. you can start answering some of my six questions, right?
Yeah.
You're looking at, you don't know what the answer actually is. You're trying to find it. You know it's not the one that you picked the first time through. Okay, well, what's wrong with it? What does it say? What does that mean? How does it not answer the question? I mean, it's objectively wrong. It's probably objectively wrong for multiple reasons. Many times. It's wrong twice or more. So tell me what it is about that answer that attracted you. Tell me exactly why it's wrong. Tell me how you're going to avoid picking it next time. And then on the one that you think you're about to pick, you can do all this before you even hit submit on your second time through.
Yeah.
Or before you watch videos, or before you read a written explanation, or before you use an ask button. You can do all this stuff where you go, okay, you know, I really think it's actually B, because mm-hmm. here's how B does answer the question. Like, here's how this answer is 100% right. And boy, here's what I thought it meant the first time through. Yeah, half the time it's going to be like, I didn't pick it because I didn't read carefully enough. Okay, how are you going to avoid that next time? Well, I'm going to fucking read more carefully. Yeah, no shit. When are you going to start doing that, though? Like, is it going to be tomorrow, or like, will it be next year that you start reading more carefully, or is it going to be like now? Mm-hmm. Anyway, you can do all that as you're doing blind review, right? Then when you hit submit, it better be right. And then to clarify, I would read an explanation or watch a video just to make sure that we're telling the same story that you were telling. Because sometimes students have wildly convoluted
overly complicated reasons for why something might always be wrong,
right?
It could work, but you're like, but you're missing the elephant in the room, which just kills this answer so simply and clearly and repeatably, right?
they're like dragging the couch up the stairwell, you know, angling it around the bend in the stairwell, maneuvering it through the thing, and it's like, you know, meanwhile, when we get to our explanation, it's like, well, but there's a freight elevator. Did you not see that? You could have taken a freight elevator directly.
Yeah, I was wondering where you were going with this analogy. Yeah. I was like, okay, and the alternative is what?
They do like just
don't move the couch.
Yeah, they do way too much work, right? It's like it's just not as hard as you think it is.
Yeah.
If you have to burn 100 calories to tell me why an answer is correct, that's not the actual explanation. It's always simpler, right?
So you might have to burn 100 calories to get to the simple explanation to open your eyes,
right?
But once you've opened them, then it's an easy, you know, three sentence
it's nothing. Exactly. Okay, so anyway, thank you, Mike. That is excellent. Glad we got you over the hump there. Don't just totally give up on blind review, but do it right, which is really understanding the mistake and really understanding why the right answer is right.
Yeah.
Then hit submit, then get some help.
Yeah. And by the way, count those successful blind reviews as progress, right? I think the problem is that people are counting timed sections or timed tests or the number of questions that they do every day as progress. And it's like, no, actual progress, a check mark would go next to any time you do a question and then really figure it out. So if someone sits down and they do one question and then they really figure it out, I'd be like, wow, you're making progress, check mark. Versus someone who's like, well, I did five questions today, but I kind of rushed through the review. Okay, well, maybe you have a zero.
Yeah, right? That might be nothing. That was like, all you're doing there is gambling. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just like, you're not that good at the test. You're not really getting better at the test, but sometimes you do better. And so you're like looking for that little dopamine hit of gambling, essentially.
And you know? You're looking for that dopamine hit of, yeah, I did 10 questions again today. Yeah, like, okay.
But you never confronted your misunderstandings because it's a little uncomfortable. You never confronted the fact that half of your mistakes come from sloppy, careless, just misreading stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's a little painful, I imagine. You know, it's like, I feel bad in class. I'm like, oh, you misread it? Okay. Like, I... what am I supposed to do, right? Yeah. You know that experience where you're just like, oh, yeah, okay. You misread the passage. You misread the question. You misread the correct answer that you didn't pick. You misread the wrong answer that you did pick. Yep. You misread all four of those. So I guess my advice, you know, people are like, so what's your advice for how to improve? We're like...
slow down.
Read more carefully. I mean, half of our advice. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Mike. Yeah. Thanks for writing in.
Thank you. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.